Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. Today. That's becoming my little tagline, apparently.
It's funny. So you think that it's becoming your tagline. It's been your tagline for 2 years, and you're just now accepting it.
Yeah, yeah. They say that good leaders are mocked by their followers.
Of course.
So maybe that's a sign.
I just had this. It's funny. I just had this talk with Layla last night. So she has two nicknames for me. Goose.
And Shorty.
And Shorty.
Yeah.
And I've been calling her Shorty a lot lately. Yeah. So she had a soccer game last night. It was just a rec game against the girls that are older than them inside of their club, right?
Right.
And so I had told her coach that he had heard me calling her that. And so he's been calling her that.
Yeah.
Well, now all the girls are calling her that.
Yeah.
And she's taking it all personal and this and that. And so she gets home last night. And she's like, Dad, everyone's making fun of me. I was like, Layla, no, they're not.
They're not making fun of you.
I was like, you are. And her coach and I have had this conversation. She's the leader of that team. She's like me, real vocal, real out in front, you know, real instigator, real encouraging.
Yeah. Instigator? Never.
Never. But I had to have that talk. I'm like, babe, no, they respect you. Yeah. Like, you are their leader, and that's why they're razzing you and this and that. She's like, oh, okay. Like, she took it pretty well.
Yeah.
Right? But I was like, okay, little dad talk here. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know, she was okay.
We did.
It's good for her.
We did a little, like, impromptu surprise interview questions one morning at the shop.
During your meeting?
Yeah.
Your meetings?
Where it was like, give us your best Mitch impression.
Did they all go, today?
No. So they were all like, Google it.
Google it, you fuck.
Because that's my rule in the company is like, don't call me with a question that you could Google.
Google it.
Like, don't waste my time.
Oh my God, that's good.
Yeah.
That is gold. So,
Google it.
And then they just walk away. That'd be hilarious.
That's exactly what he did.
Oh my God.
The guy that said Google it, he just said Google it, and he turned around and walked away.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to hack my lungs up the whole episode today. I'm sorry. I'm going to be okay. Oh, man, I've been in a real fucking mood for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And it's just, I still don't have my fucking check from State Farm.
For your truck.
When did I get in that? Do you remember?
2, 3, 4 weeks ago, a month ago.
Like the 20th, 19th, 18th, something like that of February.
Yeah.
Still
no
fucking check.
Huh.
Yeah. They wanted to give me $10,000. Well, you know what? Let's talk about it. They wanted to give me $10,000 for that fucking truck.
Right.
They send me a... They call me. They're like, hey, blah, blah, blah. We're going to send you the comps, this and that. I'm looking at the comps.
The settlement packet.
The settlement packet.
Yeah.
The three comps are, so my truck had a 6.2 in it, right? The three trucks they pick, two of them have 5.3s. One of them has a 6.2.
Yeah.
It's a $10,000. This is so fucked up. $10,900 truck. $13,900. They're like, well, we're giving you $10,900. I'm like, those averages don't even average. Like,
yeah.
What are you talking? Well, that's, you know, those are just the numbers that they can't give you a straight answer.
No,
right?
No.
They can't give you a fucking straight answer. So I say, well, can I battle with like my own, like if I look, yeah, okay. While she's on the, I'm in my office, you know, my office, I got my big screen TV, I got my monitors, all that. I'm sending them to her immediately.
Yeah.
Like an $18,000 truck, 14, 19, 17. Like she's like, yeah, you could send a few. I sent her 10 fucking trucks in like 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, this and that and blah, blah, blah. And yeah. I'm like, well, okay. So what do we do now? Well, I'll run this up the chain of command and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, so what happens if I don't get what I want? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, where do I send the attorney letter to?
Yeah.
She's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I've already talked to my attorney. And if I don't get what I want, he said, well, you'll have to send a letter, blah, blah, blah. He said, just find out from them. Where do I send it? Silence.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking dead silent. Like 2 minutes goes by.
Yeah.
Maybe not 2 minutes, 30 seconds. She's like, oh, well, you would send it to this. I said, okay, well, that's good to know. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But just let me know. She calls me the next day. She's like, well, we've got your comps and you know, we think based on those comps, that's going to be 14,000 and this and that. Well, I was like, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
I sent you literally trucks that were 18 and 19. I said, well, I just, I don't know what to do in this. I said, this is what you're going to fucking do. I said, you're going to run it up the chain of command. I said, and until I'm happy, I'm not happy. Yeah. And if I need to send that letter, just let me know. 3 days later, she calls me back.
20 grand.
No. She says, okay, well, we're going to have an independent person go out and look at the truck. I'm like, oh, they're going to go out there. I want to meet them out there. Well, it's going to be online, like through pictures. I'm like, okay, fucking wait a second.
Yeah, you said go out and look.
Yeah. She's like, well, it's digitally just it's go an independent, digitally go out, you know, blah, 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 this and that, all this nonsense. I'm like, okay, all right, that's fine. Well, you need to take your rental back. No.
Yeah.
Why would I take my rental back? She's like, well, because we're only allowed to authorize for 3 days, this and that, blah, 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 whatever. I said, no. I said, until I get my fucking check or until I get a number that I'm happy with, I'm keeping that fucking truck.
Yeah. And if the rental goes longer than what you like, this is on you for jerking my chain.
Yeah. She's like, oh, well, I don't know if I can approve that. I said, guess what? We're running it up the chain again. I said, you just let me know what happens. I'm not returning that truck. She calls me back later that day. Yeah, you could get 3 days after from when we get the receipt, when we get the proposal from the independent contractor.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. All this happens, right? The guy gets back to me. The guy gets back to her. She calls me. $19,200 is what they're going to give me for the truck. I'm fine with that.
It doubled.
How are you going to fuck people out of $9,000? How are you going to tell them 10 grand? And unless they're smart enough or been through this one time and know, like, hey, they're trying to fuck me.
Yeah.
How is that not some kind of fraud, dude?
It's a business practice.
How is it not fraud? I know it's a business. How is that not fraud?
Because something is only valued at what you think it's valued at. And their thing is to replace the item that was lost at your agreed upon value. Right? And so another...
I agree with
this
that.
This is how they lie with language.
Lie with language. Wow. Hey, you know what? They must have voted Democrat too.
I don't know. Maybe. But if they say, hey, based on the comps in your area, we're giving you 10.5 for your truck. And you say, okay, the moment you sign that agreement, that settlement packet,
it's legally
you
binding.
Now agreed that they gave you a good value for your truck.
A fair market value.
Right.
Which is bullshit.
Right. It's the same philosophy as how I used to buy cars for $1,000 and then sell them for $3 and doing hardly anything to them.
Yeah,
I would buy them from somebody who thought that car was only worth $1,000, and then I would sell it to somebody who thought that car was worth $3,000, and I got to make money in the exchange of meeting this person with a low value and this person the person with a high value.
Yeah, the middleman game. Yeah, it's funny. I had to go up to it's at Dale's Automotive. I had to go up there and take my extra set of keys because they were going to come and get it. Mm-hmm. And the guy that was there, his name's Corey, was fucking awesome. Super nice guy. I walk in there, I give him the keys. He's like, hey, it doesn't look like they're going to fix it. I said, yeah, I know. I'm bringing up the keys and this and that. I looked him right now. I said, hey, I filled that thing up with gas. I said, you got a gas pump? And I was like, yeah. I was like, go out there and empty that tank.
Yeah.
I was like, I filled it up and got in a wreck 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
I was like, take the gas out of it. Fuck State Farm. He's like, okay, gotcha, buddy.
Yeah.
I was like, he's like, well you know, no, keep it.
Yeah.
Keep the gas.
Just put it in your truck.
I don't care what you guys do with it. Just, hey.
They're hauling it out of here on a wrecker.
Yeah. I was like, hey.
It doesn't need gas.
I said, if I left anything in there. I was like, fucking take it.
Yeah.
I was like, take it all, man. Fuck them.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I...
Now, for clarification, State Farm is not your insurance. That's the insurance company of the girl that hit you.
No. And I'm not... I want to be very careful with what I say here. I'm not saying State Farm's a bad company.
I am.
If I'm telling everyone that has ever listened to this podcast or is listening to this podcast... I will never use State Farm for anything.
Yeah.
They can lick the underside of my fucking nutsack. And Pat, if for some reason, Patrick Mahomes hears this. He's like, obviously he's just getting paid. He doesn't give a fuck.
No, he doesn't.
Dude, Pat, they're fucking people's eyeballs out, dude.
Yeah.
Like if he hears this, like,
how do you think they're paying that endorsement?
They're fucking people to pay him
by saving 10 grand on truck claims.
I will never use State Farm. If you're using State Farm and you want to quit because of my experience, I'm not saying, you know,
yeah,
I don't applaud you, but fuck them,
I'll say
dude.
This. I've never heard fuck people stand them. Up and brag about how well State Farm took care of them, But anytime I hear about somebody getting fucked over by insurance companies, there's a high likelihood of State Farm at the helm.
It's fucking bullshit, man.
Here's like, we see it in the circles that I'm in. I'm connected with a lot of roofers. And you'll see roofers.
You get around.
Yeah. Well, so like their program with roofers, you get like a hail claim on your roof.
Yeah.
And they have an exacting process that they want you to go through on the roof. They want you to climb on the roof.
Which in and of itself is dangerous.
Is wearing
like
the roof.
Half of these people know what they're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. They want you to, not the homeowner, but the adjusters and the
roofing. Oh, I thought you meant the homeowner.
No, okay, no, no. The roofing salespeople.
Yeah.
They want somebody to be on the roof. They want you to lift so many shingles to check like the original installation and adherence of the shingles. Like how well did they mesh together after they got some sun on them? Right. Yeah,
how well have they stuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they want you to like check the nail counts and all the shingles and all of this stuff. Now, keep in mind,
do you know how hard it is to see nail count if you don't know what you're looking at?
Right. Well, now keep in mind, this is on a hail damaged roof. Okay, this is not a roof that had shingles blown off.
Yeah.
And so they're questioning, did it have enough nails in it? This is strictly hail damage. But then by the time you do all of this, then like I've seen this in video form, the adjuster comes back and says, we're not paying a claim because most of the damage we're seeing you caused during the inspection.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
You know what?
They're literally talking contractors into doing actions that allow State Farm to say no.
It's kind of
like,
dude,
it's kind of like the two different branches of the government that were both trying to sue Elon Musk.
Yeah.
On SpaceX.
Yeah.
One branch of the government was trying to sue him because he wouldn't hire illegal immigrants. They were saying by law, you're required to hire immigrants,
which is also illegal.
Well, once your business is big enough, you are required by law to hire so many immigrants. Maybe it's not illegal immigrants.
It's not illegal. You have to hire immigrants.
Yeah.
But so, not illegal immigrants.
But then there's another law that says any government funded entity that's dealing with rockets cannot hire immigrants. They all have to be like
just all fighting each other.
Employees.
Like a bunch of fucking
like
retards.
Native, like not Native Americans, but like American residents, right? Not immigrants.
American born citizens.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. American citizens. And so he's literally being sued by both departments for trying to follow the rules of both departments.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you're telling me I have to hire immigrants or I get sued. You're telling me if I hire immigrants, I get sued. So what do you want me to do?
It's
right.
It's amazing to me that people are still like, no, fuck Doge, fuck Elon Musk.
Yeah.
We want that red tape. What?
Yeah.
Like literally they're trying to burn it down and start over so that all of us that are paying taxes can be treated fairly. And people are like, no,
yeah,
no, we don't want that. What do you mean you don't want that? What are you fucking stupid?
Ironically, the topic of today's show is about accountability.
Oh, wait, I want to finish one thing.
Yep.
I still haven't got that check.
For your truck.
I fill out the title. I send it in. They call me. You filled out the title wrong. I was like, what do you mean I filled out the title wrong? I filled out 50 titles.
Yeah.
They send you a piece of paper that says, do it like this. You filled out the title wrong. Send me a picture of it. Well, we can't do that. Okay, so what do we do? Well, we're going to send you a power of attorney, blah, 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 so we can fix the title. So what? Yeah. So they send it to me.
I'm not signing a power of attorney unless I know why.
Because
I need to know what I did wrong, right?
They refused to send me a picture of my misfilled out title. I filled out the fucking power of attorney thing. I don't care. It's a title. I don't care. I've already mailed it off. But it bought them, I think, another fucking week, and it pisses me the fuck off.
And what else is that power of attorney good for?
Nothing.
Is it good to speak on your behalf to lower that value from 10 or from 20 back down to 10?
No. I called my.
I wouldn't
attorney.
Put it past him.
I called my. I wouldn't either. But I called my attorney buddy, and I was like, "Hey, what do you think about this?" He's like, "I'll just fucking sign it, dude."
Yeah.
He's like, "You want your check or not?" I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "They're fucking me out of another week."
Yeah.
So, anyways, I drove Joe's 06 purple Trailblazer to Layla's soccer practice the last two nights because I have no fucking vehicle.
I'm flush with vehicles right now. You want to borrow one?
I might.
Yeah.
I might take that Lightning. I might take that Lightning.
We can do it.
Let's be honest.
The Lightning's fast as fuck.
Would you rather me have something that says Smedley on it or not?
I don't care.
then I'll take the lightning.
All publicity is good publicity.
All publicity is good publicity.
Even if it's
publicity.
From an aerial helicopter shot running from the police.
if you get a phone call that says, Mr. Smedley, we noticed your truck is stuck in some mud next to a lake.
Yeah. I tell my guys all the
time.
I'll
just leave that fucking thing there and walk away.
I tell my guys all the time, if you get into an accident, make sure that van's on its side so that that way when the helicopter's checking it out from overhead,
we get some
marketing.
Oh, man.
I don't want to have to put vinyl wrap on the roof of it so that the helicopter can see it.
I've been looking at trucks. I'm not a big finance guy. Mm-hmm. I pay cash for it. The only thing that I have finance is the house. So I'll be paying cash for this truck. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not spending another $20,000 of my own money. So it's like, I never figured when I was younger, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to pay cash for this truck and I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. And blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I have all this money and no vehicle. I'm just sitting around with my thumb in my ass, like a homeless person, waiting for money.
Hey boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
I'd buy a two-seater car. That's what I'd buy.
Don't poke the bear, Mitch. Yeah. Don't poke the bear. Just say maybe.
So
continue. I'm sorry.
So today's
I've been rambling for a little bit. I haven't had any alcohol since I've been sick, which has been over a week. This is my first one, so I might be a little chatty.
You're chatty.
I might be a little chatty today. Yep. Go on, sir. Continue.
So ironically, it was a great intro because today's show is about accountability. And you are doing a good job of holding the insurance company accountable, right?
I'm trying.
And
trying my best.
We're in this weird position in America right now where there's a lot of focus on the wrong side of accountability. There's a lot of focus on those who are trying to hold people accountable instead of those who should be held accountable.
Agreed.
And you're seeing that with Doge and you're seeing that with Trump and everything else, right?
Yeah.
And you're also seeing a lot of lying with language to where, mass media outlets.
Oh God, it's bad, man.
Yeah. Doge makes a cut that, let's say they cut $1 million a year out of some funding and the media tries to spin it into thinking like, let's say it's Social Security. The media tries to act like that's $1 million coming out of the recipient's hands.
Yeah.
No.
We call that, lying
yeah. with language,
yeah,
right?
It's bullshit what the fuck it is.
It's like they're not cutting any recipients of anything.
No,
they're cutting the wasteful, bloated, overspending in regulation money on top, right?
Yeah.
And this is how government programs work. Like, we made a joke a long time ago about how to get government contracts, and the joke was something to the effect of, and this is why this joke is funny.
You got to have a woman as a boss or illegal immigrant.
The joke we said was that Smedley Plumbing, my plumbing company, got invited to bid on a repipe at the White House. And there were a total of three contractors invited in the bid. And contractor A bid the job at $1 million. And contractor B bid the job at $2 million.
Yeah.
And I bid the job at $5 million. And I ended up getting awarded the job. And everyone's wondering, like, why did you get awarded that job? You were the high bid. And I said, well, it's easy. I get to keep $2 million. I get to give $2 million to the president.
Yeah.
And then
This was Joe Biden at the time.
Yeah, this was Joe Biden at the time. Yeah. I keep $2 million. I give $2 million to the guy that awarded me the contract. And then I go buy company A for $1 million to do the work.
Yeah.
And company A gets $1 million. The guy who gives me the contract gets $2 million and I get $2 million.
Yeah.
That's a joke because.
But it's so true.
That's how government contracts work. And so whenever they're sending $10 million overseas for a program, the program itself, the recipients of the program, don't get a fraction of that money.
No, they don't.
Most of that $10 million is spent on the middleman and the glad handing and the thanks for giving me the contract and the pomp and circumstance around the contract. Very little of it actually goes to the end user. It's very much like a nonprofit. If you were to look at like
it is like a nonprofit.
It is.
Yeah.
If you were to look at some of the leading nonprofits out there, some of the leading nonprofits out there might have $10 million a year in spending and $9 million of it goes back internal.
Yeah.
And they only give $1 million to the recipients of whatever program they run.
Yeah. I don't understand. Why does the Susan B. Komen get, why'd she get $2 million? Well,
yeah.
It's because it's a nonprofit. That doesn't count towards profit because they spent it on a lot of salary.
A lot of people don't understand that nonprofits don't mean everybody there works for free. Like you can be a salaried position at a nonprofit. The nonprofit just means the company can't show a profit.
Yeah. The company can't make money. Well, that doesn't mean that that individual didn't get paid to do their job.
Yeah.
And didn't get grossly overpaid.
Right. And that's the thing is like, well, if I got $100,000 to spend in order to keep my nonprofit status, I can either give
Who's getting a bonus?
Yeah.
Who's getting a bonus?
I can just bonus myself and, oh, look, the money went away. And boom, that's how we make money on a nonprofit, right?
Exactly.
And so
Mitch and I got we're gonna start us one of these days.
One day.
Someday.
Believe it or not, I actually do want to start one for our Family First program, but I don't want to start it to skim money. I want to start it so I can help more people. So
no,
that's a whole different story.
That's a whole other story for another day. And Mitch did tell me, and I wanted this to be on record, that I get to be on the board. So,
I've got a whole list of people.
I'll be watching his skinny little ass, make sure he ain't fucking nobody out of no money.
So, ironically, where this topic came from was just a lot of current events going on in the media with the current administration, with the global political climate, but also just with some current events on the non-political side.
Yeah.
So, there was a high school track meet last week where... Okay.
Tell me about it. Come on.
These runners, these female runners were in the 4x200 relay.
4x200, so two laps of whack. No. Half a lap each.
Half a lap
two each. Two laps total. Okay.
800 meters total.
Yeah.
Run by four people.
Okay.
So you run 200, then you hand a baton off, somebody else runs 200, and so on.
Two full laps.
Yeah. So this girl had received a baton.
Okay.
And she's rounding a corner.
Is she winning? They winning? Not winning?
She's not winning, but she's ahead of somebody else.
Okay.
And then as she's rounding the corner, this other person passes her.
Okay. Someone's catching her ass.
Yeah. And getting ready to put distance on her. I mean, passes her quickly.
Okay.
She loses her temper and rears back with that baton and clocks the girl on top of the head.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, just clocks her out cold, right? Or not cold, but like hits her. And the girl, like she's already moving with speed at a full sprint.
She go down?
So she goes down
about
12 steps later because as fast as you're running, by the time you realize you've been hit and you're a little disoriented.
Yeah, you're
a little
dizzy and then you kind of lose it. Yeah.
Yeah. Automation takes over and you get about 12 steps before you're down.
And 12 steps is only like what? 20 feet, 25 feet,
maybe 20 feet? Yards, 30 yards maybe. You're probably a yard a step.
One.
But
one step's probably 3 yards.
Maybe.
So 9 feet. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, pretty quick. But
I'm babbling again.
So she gets this tons of backlash.
The girl that hit the other girl.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so now she goes on record, and I sent you this video. We're going to play it here. She goes on record griping about the unfair treatment she's getting, and she's complaining about getting death threats and racial slurs and all of this stuff. All because she lost her temper.
I don't understand.
And then she's refusing to accept accountability for whacking this girl over the head. And in the video, we'll play it here in a second. In the video, she's trying to say that she didn't actually hit this person. She's trying to say that the baton like got stuck on her back and then it accidentally struck her head as she was in stride. But in the video, you can clearly see she looks at her, she rears back, she aims, and she smacks this girl on the top of the head with a baton.
Let me see it. Well, let me hear it first. Hold it up to your mic so I can hear.
So, you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental, right? They're going off of one angle. A couple times hit her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit. But I know my intentions, and I would never...
Oh, that's bullshit. I can see it. Yeah. She so fucking smacked her in the back of the head.
So...
Why is
here,
this?
Here.
This is just because of a nice taking video.
She just said.
Here, wait. Start it again and let me hear everything she has to say. Just leave it on the mic.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Look.
So, you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental, right? They're going off of one angle. A couple times hit her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit. I know my intentions, and I would never hit somebody on purpose. They're assuming my character, calling me ghetto, racist slurs, death threats, all of this just because of a 9-second video.
All right, that's a lot to unpack. First off, she's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You can see in the video. I will put the video on
our
deal where you can hear it better. But
yeah,
actually, you could hear it well. But where you see, she rears back and hits that fucking girl in the back of the head, and then she. Why you hurt my mental state? What do you mean? You have responsibility for your actions. What are you fucking stupid?
Yeah,
I don't. First off, it's 2025. Does not everyone realize that there are cameras fucking everywhere? You're at a mass sporting event. You think people aren't going to fucking notice?
Right.
Come out and say, yeah, I fucking hit her in the back of the head because I didn't want to fucking lose. Like, that looks better than that. That's awful.
So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You got a lot. So,
that's a lot to unpack.
You can tell in the video. I mean, she locks eyes on the back. Like, she aims with her eyes.
Oh, yeah. You can see it.
And you can see in her stride, the baton is coming up to eye level. And the only stride where it breaks eye level is the one where she gets hit. And she, like, it's all the way behind her head. I mean, she's fucking cranking
smokes
back.
Her. Yeah. She smokes her.
And so, here's my take on it. I have a couple takes. One,
I do too.
Is if you refuse to take accountability for your actions, here you are as an aggressor, and then whenever life circles back around, as it does, you can't play the victim card.
No. Right?
That's like claiming rape when you were on top. You can't claim rape when you were enjoying yourself, right?
Yeah.
And here you go. You can't claim victim when you were the aggressor. Yeah. And keep in mind, the girl didn't even retaliate. This is everybody else retaliating, right?
Yeah.
But the other thing that I take a big objection to, you can't claim racial slurs when you can't run that double standard, right? We all can assume what the racial slur is.
That people were telling her.
Yes.
Like, you're a beep.
Yeah, with a hard R.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you can't joke around with that with the soft R amongst all your peers and then pull out the victim card once somebody does it with a hard R. Or you can't let your peers do it in good faith with a hard R and then selectively be offended when somebody else does. It's either right or it's wrong.
I do. We've had this debate. When Marcus was on the show, we literally had a talk about that. Marcus was our black producer. Yeah. We had a talk. Yeah. I wanted to know what he thought.
Yeah.
And if you want to go back and listen to that, it was actually very interesting what he had to say. But yeah, you're right. You can't. I want to be very careful with what I say. You can't pretend like you're above the law, above everyone else's decisions and choices, and then act a fool.
Yeah.
And then be surprised when those same things come back around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't be like, oh, well, I never act like that. Come on, dude. What are you doing? Like, stop.
So
it's very, I will say this in her defense. We have created and allowed this type of behavior to run rampant in this country.
Where you can be crucified by the public for an act that happened.
Well, you can act the victim and get sympathy even after you've act a fool.
Yeah, because it's the McDonald's coffee thing.
Yeah, because of the way that we have allowed people to just get away with bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, people, she should literally be never allowed to run again.
No, she should be charged with assault.
She should be charged with assault.
Yeah.
And we're not going to, because all of these things that have happened the last 5 years, BLM burning down fucking city. Oh, it's fine. Yeah. It's in protest. It's fine. And so people think they can act a fool and then get away with it, and there's no consequences to anyone's actions, allows this type of behavior to happen.
Right.
Like, it's no wonder people think and act like they're above the law.
Yeah.
It's because we've allowed it to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so dumb to me.
Yeah.
That there's no account, like you were saying, there's no accountability anymore.
Yeah.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
So
it allows for chaos.
Where I would have loved to see that.
I'd love for them to be like, okay, you know what? Stand here, and that girl gets to hit you in the back of the head with a fucking baton.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, fuck, I mean, yes.
That's the right way to handle it,
fuck
right?
Fuck yeah.
But
let that other girl hit that girl in the fucking head.
Where I would love to see it go.
Stupid bitch.
And where that, damn, man. Where that girl would earn a ton of my respect is if she flat out admitted, yeah, I don't even know what happened. I was in the heat of battle, and I lost control of my emotions.
Yeah.
And it happened before I even knew it happened.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I'm a competitor through and through, and I just lost control of my actions in that split second.
100% would have... I would at least respect that.
Be right.
Like, yeah. Okay, you know what? Like...
At least you're honest.
Yeah,
now, you're do honest. I condone that behavior? Still no, but like, yeah. We all fuck up. And in the moment you can admit you fucked up... is the moment you're actually going to learn from the fuck up.
Agreed.
But right now, in her present state of mind,
no.
She ain't learning shit.
She's made it worse.
And she's going to make it, like, she's going to hate the system even worse because she's refusing to admit to herself she fucked up, and now the system is coming down on her. And these are the types of things that lead into that whole, like, all the claims of systemic oppression and all of this crap. And it's like, no, hold on. Let's remove all identifiers from it. You were in a race with another person and you smacked them with a baton and now you're catching heat for it because you're refusing to admit you did anything wrong.
Yeah.
You take all other identifiers out of it. That's a wrong behavior.
Yeah, you can't do that. You just can't fucking
now,
do it.
Man. I do want to point out one thing that I caught and I noticed in this video that is
what?
It is stereotypically hilarious.
Oh, no.
We're going to play it again and I'm going to see if you catch it.
Wait. Are we going to get banned from YouTube?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
All right. I'm listening.
Here we are.
I'm not going to look
at
you.
Has feelings. So you're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental, right? They're going off of one angle. A couple times hit her, my baton got stuck behind her back. Like
what,
this.
Was it the beep?
Yeah.
Was it the smoke alarm? Not the fucking beep, the battery being changed?
Haven't you ever seen those videos?
No. What are you talking about?
So it's a funny stereotype. That black people always have smoke alarms that need batteries. And
I've never heard that before.
Oh, it's hilarious. And there's a lot of videos online where they'll like somebody will be doing like a TikTok
or
something. Oh,
is it a TikTok thing?
They'll be doing like a TikTok in their house and you hear the chirp in the background. And then somebody will be like, oh, of course, go figure, the smoke alarm's chirping. And then you'll have all these reaction videos that tag onto it. And it'll be like another black person sitting in their living room and they'll be like, first of all, that is stereotypical, and I don't agree with it. And then, chirp, their smoke alarm goes off. and then you see another black person get on there and be like, okay, this is not fair, and we are putting all of us in one group. Chirp, and then there's and it's just this funny comedy thing where it all goes off. It's
no, just, I've never heard that.
It's just so ironic. That's in there too.
I guarantee
it's
you.
It's a way to add humor to the whole thing.
I guarantee someone was like, I'm going to edit this.
I'm going to edit this and put it in there.
They added that chirp and they're like, oh, dude,
I mean,
you can't do that.
Yeah, she's in her living room giving that interview.
Oh,
so,
is that what it
yeah.
is? It's hard to tell. All I can see is her face.
Yeah. But yeah.
What you were saying earlier about like just you'd give her more respect if it was like, yeah, I hit her in the fucking back of the head because I didn't want to fucking lose.
Right.
Hey, okay.
Right.
And then everyone would immediately move on and this wouldn't be a thing.
Right.
But instead, what I don't understand is, you know, we talk about this a lot. Where are her fucking parents at?
Right.
Why aren't her parents going, you cannot say those things. You have to say, I fucked up.
Yep.
And this is what's happened. The fact that parents... are so fucking lazy these days. And they're just like, no, I'm not going to discipline my kid. I'm not going to tell him what to do. I'm not going to show him the right path.
Right.
And then you act like, well, I don't know why she's knocked up at 17 and fucking homeless. It's your fault, dude.
Yeah.
Like, what are we fucking doing here?
So
be involved with your kids.
So
I know that's off topic, but it's one of my I don't have a lot of pet peeves.
Yeah.
But when parents are out of the picture and they're not taking responsibility for their kids' actions because it's basically their fault.
Yeah.
Like I have no patience for that. Zero. So zero fucking patience for that.
One of my buddies who lives here in the KC area, his name's Dustin Broom.
You got friends?
I have one.
Dustin Brew?
Yeah. he posted this about an hour ago on Facebook. You know, right now there's a lot of like clap back for Elon Musk, and a lot of people are selling their Teslas thinking that's going to, like, Elon already made money off of your Tesla. You selling it isn't hurting Elon in any way.
You're losing money on it. It's hurting you, not him. He don't give a fuck.
Right. But then there's also
your stupid Rosie O'Donnell head out of your fucking ass and get over it.
Well, there's also an aggravated group of people that are going out there and damaging other people's Teslas. And they're going into Tesla dealerships and damaging those and all of this, right?
Nothing like Democrats hurting Democrats. Right. What are you fucking doing, you
right.
idiots?
We burn the city down, right?
Yeah.
So here's a screenshot from post.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Daughter is being prosecuted for felony vandalism to vehicles in California. What else can be done and who can I contact? That's the title of the post.
Okay.
They're posting anonymously. Go figure.
This we haven't had a Mitch anonymous post rant in a while.
I'm gonna read this word for word.
Okay.
My daughter,
go ahead. You know what? Go ahead. You read whatever the fuck you want. Let me have it.
My daughter, and in the parentheses, it says African-American, 18 years old.
Oh, this is the mother.
She's posting
this. Okay.
Yeah, she's looking for legal advice for her daughter in this situation.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
Was involved in a protest at a Tesla dealership. And after the protest, she apparently vandalized, and then parentheses begin again, spray paint and physical damage, breening, typo, physical damage / breening a Tesla and a Cybertruck that was caught on security mode. How clear are these cameras? She told her lawyer I was the one that coaxed by friends to do it.
Coaxed by friends.
Okay.
Have responsibility for your own actions. First off, go ahead.
She goes on in the post to say, I'm scared for her and I want the best possible future. I'm afraid that she is going to get a harsh sentence if found guilty, which her lawyer says is highly likely given all the evidence. She would be expelled from school. Will she be able to get a job? Anyone have any advice for me or her?
I have advice for you. Go back in time and be a better parent, you worthless piece of shit.
Right. And like, you're not even being a good parent right now.
No.
You're literally coming, your kid who's an adult, 18 years old, made an adult decision and needs to suffer adult consequences.
Yeah.
And you as her parent are coming into her rescue and trying to minimize the consequences that are literally there to improve her character so that she doesn't revert back to this.
I will say this. If that was my daughter, I would do the same thing. I would. Like, I would do everything in my power to help her, okay?
Well, you want to help, but at the
same
time. But
I will also say, that being said, I'm trying to help her now so that those things don't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't sit around on your fat, bonbon-eating ass.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this lady. I'm saying parenting in general. And then when something bad happens, jump up and be like, I'm going to help you, baby.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
You got to be there the whole time.
Yeah.
Now, say, I will give her the benefit of the doubt. Say she has been a great parent and told her that she's a fuck up.
Yeah.
And you can't be doing these things. It's still too late.
Yeah.
She's 18, dog.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
That kid's probably not going to go to jail. It's probably not going to be on her permanent record, but she's going to be paying some fines and she's going to be on probation. And she's going to be doing some community service.
Yeah.
And the best thing for her is to do those things.
Right.
And so that she knows when I act a fool, there are consequences to be paid.
Yeah.
And I can't, this started with BLM.
Yeah.
Of letting people burn cities to the ground and then not holding them accountable.
Mostly peaceful.
mostly peaceful protests, like not yeah. holding
mostly
those
peaceful
people.
Protests. We spray painted and physically damaged. I think Breening is burning a Tesla and a Cybertruck.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, physical damage / Breening, the only thing
it's gotta
I can...
Be
it's got to be burning. A Tesla and a Cybertruck was caught on sentry mode.
I don't...
So, the Cybertruck's own security system... Yeah,
they have, like, if you bump a Tesla, the camera comes on and gets your ass.
If you park too close to one, it'll come on.
I have given many Teslas the finger. Like, yeah. I've never hit one, but it's like, I've been close and you can...
Yeah,
like,
it's kind of fun to mess with them through sentry mode, right?
You know.
But her
seriously.
Lawyer says she's highly likely given the evidence. So it's
she's going to jail.
Well, and after the protest, she apparently vandalized. Okay, you can't, like, you're already first minimizing off, it for your daughter.
First off, the word is allegedly, not apparently. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe, like, I barely graduated high school. Like, you got to know what the fucking words are.
But
come on.
I mean,
idiots.
She
man.
Apparently no. She did. It's caught on sentry mode. Your own attorney's like, yeah, she's fucked.
You have allegedly, like, set a car on fire. Did you do it?
Yeah.
My friends told me to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have some friends that told me to do some stupid shit too. And
yeah,
you know, we all have.
I ended up in jail for it.
And I have been in jail. Yeah. Like, it just, it's what happens.
Right.
That'd be like Mike Van Dyke going, my friends told me to set that car on fire.
Yeah.
First off.
Don't do that.
Not really. Second off.
I mean, to be fair, you came to us with an idea and we put a plan together.
First off, as soon as TW makes some serious money, we gotta have to buy that car from Mike.
I already have a long-standing agreement that if it happens, Mike already knows.
Yeah.
If he, this agreement is 30 years old.
I don't want to change subjects, but the other day at Danielle's party, we talked about it.
Yeah.
I was like, and like, we're all making so much money now that it's like, it's comical.
Yeah.
I have said to him, like, dude, you can't buy memories like that. And he's like, yeah, you're right. You can't. You can't. And I still tell that story to this day.
Yeah. The agreement I gave him, I guess that was about 20 years ago. The agreement I gave him was, if he ever sees a 96 Impala SS show up in his driveway, he'll know who it's from. And so,
was it an Impala?
No.
It was a Monte Carlo.
No, but that was his, the day that car got burned, that was his dream car, was a 96 Impala SS. And so,
dude, you know, we could buy one of those. That's pretty fucking cheap.
That's what I'm saying. If the 96 Impala SS shows up in his driveway, he'll know exactly who it's from.
I don't know if he listens to this podcast, but we should try to get one. I think we could get one for $5,000.
It'd be funny. It'd be really
fucking awesome is what it would be.
So other areas where you're seeing this weird thing of accountability where people that need to be held accountable are crying is the government right now with all the DOGE stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you got Elizabeth Warren who...
Fuck that bitch.
I know. 15 years ago...
I just have to say it. I want to say it out loud, okay?
Yeah. 15 years ago, here she is on record saying... When this much money disappears from...
I look like a fucking ridiculous idiot.
15 years ago, on record, she says, when this much money disappears from the government, it's usually because somebody did something illegal.
Yeah.
And now that DOGE is finding all of this money disappearing from the government, you have Elizabeth Warren saying, Elon Musk must be stopped.
Yeah, because he's taking her money.
Because she learned the illegal behaviors to get the money from the government, and now she's worried. Like...
Yeah.
Like... Typically, when accountability starts being placed, the most vocal about it and the most resistant to it
are the people that are doing
it. Are the ones at the head of the problem.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is, you can take this everywhere. You can take this with parenting. You can take this with managing a team of people. You can take this with your friend group, whoever, right? If you're around, so I have...
7 friends.
No, well,
sorry.
I have a circle of friends where one of the people in the circle is trying to reduce how much they drink. And there's another person that's in the
circle.
There's another person in the circle that is taking that as an opportunity to tempt them more. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to tell you right now, if
that's a shitty fucking friend,
if I'm in that group and that person, like, say we go out to the bar and that person does that, I punch that guy in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I go to jail and I pay my consequences.
Yeah.
And then the next time I see him, I say, you do shit like that again, I'm going to fuck you up
when
there's no one around.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a shitty friend.
Dickhead.
But also,
do you still hang out with him?
No.
Did you call him out?
No.
should.
I'm not in a position to call him out.
Yes, you are.
I'll explain it later.
Okay. You know what? God damn it. I'm all fired up now. I got no fucking answers.
These are employees and former employees. So I'm limited as my position as their manager or former manager or boss. So.
Here, I'm not. Write it down. Just write that down. Oh, really? Which one's quitting? Which one's trying to quit? And which one's making it bad? Is that the kid? Does that guy work for you still?
No.
But that's the guy that quit is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
I don't like that guy anyway. I don't know if I can fight him. He's a big dude.
Well, that's the That's the type of thing where, like, and you don't even have to say
some of the Tradewinds guys in to help me.
You don't even have to like when you're arguing with somebody, the moment you start name calling is the moment that argument's going nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And although name calling kind of feels good and everything else, it's like just look at it pragmatically.
Ooh, pragmatically. Like, nice word.
Like somebody's trying to quit drinking. Anybody that's hindering that is an asshole.
Well, anyone that hinders that is not their real true friend.
And let's just even say it's not even quit drinking. Somebody's doing something that they feel is going to better their life.
Yeah, Mitch, like if it was you and I, Mitch is spending way too much money doing whatever. And I say, Mitch, you got to curb your money. And then this other guy comes in and he's like, dude, spend it all. Fucking who cares?
Right.
What are you doing, dude? He's trying to better himself. Fuck you.
Yeah. Or like, hey, I'm trying to eat healthier. Oh, yeah. Well, let's go to the fried food place, right?
Yeah, let's get a fucking
you can eat healthy
cheese.
Later tomorrow,
yeah.
Right? So like anytime your friends are trying to better their life in any way, whether it's reducing the amount of time they're doing something or increasing the amount of, like, maybe I want to start working out. Maybe I want to start walking 3 miles a day.
Yeah.
And then my friend's going, you don't need to walk today. You walked yesterday. That's a shitty friend.
Yeah.
A true friend says, go ahead and get your walk in. We'll resume this when you're done.
Yeah.
Right. And so like all of those things where the person that's trying to hold themselves accountable, the loud person in opposition to the accountability is usually the problem.
Yeah,
right.
Of
so
course.
In this case, here's this guy trying to reduce how much he's drinking. The problem is the guy who's saying, nah, you don't need to hold yourself accountable. Just come drinking. Right?
Yeah.
That's the Elizabeth Warren in this case.
What a piece of shit. Dude.
Yeah.
That sucks.
So, and that stuff runs rampant in all friend circles. Like, I'm not trying to target my guys or anything else.
No, it's everywhere.
That shit runs everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? And that happens on much smaller scales in much less prevalent or obvious situations. Right? You see it in, like, boy-girl relationships. I need to stop dating this guy. And then here's her girlfriend going, go out with him tonight and get you some dick or whatever. Yeah, I don't know what they're, but like you're constantly being,
where I thought you were going with that.
If you've confided in your friends that you're trying to move in a direction and your friends don't help hold you accountable to do that, those are shitty friends.
Well, and there's a difference between like, you know, someone saying, I don't want to do this, but it's actually good for them.
Right. No, you can't lie and say, like, I really feel like this coke habit's going to better my life, and your friends are trying to get you to not do coke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, dude, don't do
you
coke.
You got to be real.
What do you mean, man? Bro, it's good for you.
Yeah.
Stop.
So, I mean, you got to be real with it, but, like, there are so many cases where accountability is needed, but yet the person that's doing the holding of accountability is the one getting all the heat.
Yeah.
Right now you have Trump and Elon getting all this heat because they're trying to hold the government accountable with our money.
Yeah.
And
what I don't understand, and I shouldn't say I don't understand. I do understand. It's about power and control. When you look at his approval rating, it's actually extremely high.
Yeah.
It's like 70% of the people are like, oh yeah, we wanted him to burn it down and start over.
Yeah, the problem is the 30% is just really loud and it makes him look like trash on the internet.
Yeah, we're actually, what I don't understand is, we've been getting fucked for over 50 years.
Yeah.
And now that like someone's doing something about it, which we've all been hollering about for 50 years.
Yeah.
Now it's like, orange man, bad. We want it done, but we don't want it done by him.
Right.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Right, right.
They're screwing us all.
That's the, you know, in the easy opposition to Trump is everyone says, well, how good can he be because he's filed bankruptcy 6 times?
No, it's the system. You got to play the system.
Well,
use the system.
Let's just take, he owns 500 plus businesses.
Yeah.
So 6 bankruptcies out of 500 plus businesses is a 98% success rate.
Yeah. Seems the rest of the government's at like 40%. I'll take it.
Yeah. So listen, Karen, you've been divorced twice and you're on your third marriage. That's a 67% failure rate.
And guess what? He's probably cheating on you too. I mean, I'm just saying.
So like before you can manage, like before you can chastise somebody for managing thousands of relationships.
Yeah.
How about you prove that you can manage one? Because if you can't even manage one, then your opinion means jack shit when it comes to chastising somebody trying to manage thousands.
Yeah.
And
half of those people too, it's the budget thing. Like you can't run your household budget.
Yeah.
You're $50,000 in debt. You're literally maxing credit cards out every month. And then you want to chastise.
Yeah. You want to try to say he doesn't know what he's doing with the nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All these people are losing their jobs. Isn't that? It's because, we're out of money.
Yeah.
Because they've been pissing it away for 50 years.
Yeah.
It's time for a hard fucking reset.
Yeah.
And guess what? That money came from you. It's like these people don't understand that their taxes are going to pay for all of this bullshit that none of us want.
Well, there's been talk or jokes around Doge giving everybody like...
We need some Doge shirts. Tradewinds supports Doge.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
It's expected that Doge, when it's all said and done, it's expected that Doge will save every American taxpayer $5,000 a year.
I don't want that money either, by the way.
Well,
pay our deficit down.
Yeah, pay our deficit down with it, right?
Yeah, hello.
But it's been joked around about that Doge might actually, it's call it a stimulus or whatever, but it's been joked around about that Doge might actually give money back.
Yeah, they've talked about everyone getting a $5,000 check.
So all those people saying, fuck Doge and don't trim the budget.
They'll cash that check.
I guarantee you they'll cash that check, right?
Yeah, they'll cash that
fucking
check.
And so here you want to complain about it, but look at them new Jordans you bought with your Doge check.
Yeah.
Like, who's your daddy?
I can't pay my fucking rent, but I got my new Jordans. What? Dude, stop.
Right, right.
What are you talking about? You know what? You know who needs the Doge? It's just American households.
Yeah.
Look, if you're getting food stamps, you can't be buying soda.
Yeah.
You can't be buying cigarettes.
All of this stuff is just proof to the concept that you will only be chastised and judged poorly by those doing less than you.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Right?
I get crushed, and I'm hardly ever on Facebook.
Right.
I still get crushed.
Well, so what it is Facebook gives everybody a voice, but you don't have any way to judge anybody's clout or credibility or knowledge or anything else, right?
No, there should be a thing that says, your household debt is this, you enter it.
Yeah.
Your household income,
you're not allowed
is
to
this.
Argue here.
Yeah. we've decided that you are not allowed an opinion.
Yeah.
Because you are a loser.
Yeah.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
So the same thing, like another area where they're selectively enforcing accountability is when Zelensky came here to the U.S. to try to score a deal with the U.S. on the whole Ukraine situation.
Yeah.
And he's trying to... what Zelensky wanted was he wanted all the money and he wanted to get into the U.N.
He wants all the money. He wants to be in the U.N. and he doesn't want to have to pay any of it back. Basically what the fuck he wants.
Not the U.N. My mind just went blank.
EU?
No.
What are you talking about?
The pact of countries where we all have each other's backs.
That's the UN.
No, that's the United Nations.
Yes. That's the UN.
NATO.
Oh.
Wanted to get in NATO.
The UN runs NATO.
I know, okay. But he wanted to get in NATO.
Yeah.
And like, for one, no American would want Ukraine in NATO. Nobody in the world really wants Ukraine in NATO except Ukraine.
I do. What do you mean?
I don't want Ukraine in NATO.
Yes, we do. Why? You know why? Because it gives us strategic bases next to our two greatest enemies. That's why we want them in NATO.
I understand, but there's a rule in NATO that if one NATO country is attacked, all others must retaliate.
Yeah, who cares?
So Russia attacks Ukraine.
Yeah, so?
All NATO has to go against Russia.
Yeah, so?
Russia would likely incorporate China.
So?
And World War III breaks out.
I'm trying to get World War III started for 5 years. What did I say?
You're trying to get a cleansing? Everyone's wanting to use vaccines to depopulate the world, and we can just do it with a war.
3 episodes ago, I said we either need to get on peace or on with the war because I'm stuck in purgatory and I'm tired of fucking around.
Right.
Like, let's go.
Right. But yeah, I think most of America doesn't want World War III. Now, eventually it's going to happen, but I think most of America doesn't want it, and Ukraine getting into NATO would likely surely cause it, right?
Well, you say, this will be an interesting conversation. You say that when Ukraine was attacked by Russia, we have been fighting that war just without manpower. And I shouldn't even
everything
say
else,
that.
We've been fighting it with equipment and dollars.
Equipment and dollars.
Yep.
And people have actually been going over there and fighting in that war that are from America because they just want to. They want to be part of it. Which, hey, good for them.
Yep.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with having the biggest war in the world being fought without us having to actually have our soldiers killed. I'm fine with doing it with dollars.
Yeah.
I'm 100% fine with it.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like taking your enemy down a notch without actually having to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. So,
so Zelensky comes to the U.S., tries to keep the money flowing.
Yes.
And tries to get into NATO. And Trump's like, no. And Zelensky doesn't like that. And so then Zelensky uses the opportunity because he knows the media is there. And he tries to pigeonhole Trump in front of all of America's media.
Yeah, he did.
And he has that.
And Trump told him, fuck off.
And he has that whole conversation. And then Trump and J.D. Vance are like, fuck you. You're not going to come into the White House and disrespect us like that.
Yeah, get out. Right?
And everybody who hates Trump failed to see that Zelensky was disrespecting America in our own office.
They saw it. They just don't care because their hatred for one guy
is
trumped by everything else because they're fucking idiots.
And so they walk away from this whole thing saying how good it, like, you know, because Trump wrote the book, The Art of the Deal.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to throw it back in his face like, oh, such a good deal maker. You didn't make a deal
with
him.
The deal doesn't have to be in one spot at one time.
Right.
Sometimes it can be drawn out.
It's a global deal.
It's the
global deals don't happen in a 3-hour sit down.
It's the long play.
Yeah.
It's the long play.
But then everyone immediately said, well, he's going to the UN next week. And I guarantee the UN strikes a deal and Trump's going to take credit for it. Okay. Well, did he strike a deal with the UN? No.
No.
But where were they bitching about the UN saying, oh, well, they didn't get a deal done in 3 hours. Like,
yeah,
what losers. They didn't take the opportunity there. They only did it when Trump did it, right?
I don't understand. Like, so Europe gave them a ton of money too.
Uh-huh.
But it's all tied to loans.
Yeah.
Lower interest mm-hmm, loans. Mm-hmm. U.S. doesn't do that. They just want mineral rights instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, essentially, just because their tactics to get paid for the money they've given them is different than the standard.
Yeah.
First off, the one outlier is usually the smart guy, and the rest of them are just going along with the crowd and they're fucking dipshits.
Yeah.
So, like, pull your head out of your ass.
Right. Well, and let's just say a deal's reached that doesn't result in World War III. The unpleasable side will talk about.
Oh yeah, they won't get any. He won't get any credit.
No. Well, even if he'll get credit for the deal, but they'll find every bad part of the deal.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, he went in wanting 50% mineral rights, and he only got 45. What a fucking loser.
Yeah.
You know, like something like that.
Yeah. But and he's probably, to be honest, he probably only wants 25.
Right.
Like and, you know. It's
and
like,
and there doing? Were a lot of cries too, saying because they couldn't strike a deal in that 3-hour meeting, then that must mean we support Russia.
Oh yeah, I know. And I love it. I love it.
You're getting ready to go car shopping. You're a Chevy guy.
Yeah.
If you don't buy a vehicle on the first lot that you set foot on after you test drive it, no, that must mean you support Ford.
I do.
You're a Ford nut swinger, David.
Yes, I am.
Like, ugh. That's essentially a great parallel to what they're saying. Oh, you didn't strike a deal on the first sit down? Oh, well, it must mean you support the opposition. No, it must mean that I wasn't presented with a deal that I thought was workable. And so I said, I'll hold on until a better deal presents itself.
I also love the whole, I shouldn't say I love it. I hate it. The whole deal of, well, if we're not their thought process, if we're not at war with Russia, then we're friends with Russia.
Yeah.
Okay, no, but if we want peace, shouldn't we all be friends?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that kind of the goal to non-war and this utopia that all you dip fucks think is a reality?
Yeah.
Like, how can you counterintuitively say those things? Like,
yeah.
How dumb are you?
What would be hilarious is if the immigration problem included Russians trying to get into the U.S.
Oh, my God. People would lose their fucking minds.
Oh, they would just go fucking nuts.
Oh, my God. It'd be insane.
Yeah.
It'd be crazy.
All of a sudden, they would flip their stance on immigration.
They will literally say whatever they think they quote unquote have to say to be quote unquote right.
Well, they're unpleasable. So
yeah, that's what my point was. It's just, there's nothing you can do to pacify them.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
I was watching an interview with Charlie Kirk. You know, he goes to all these college campuses and does these interviews.
First off, I love him. He's hilarious. He's like Shapiro Light.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Yeah. He's talks slower.
Yeah.
He's a little bit easier to, like, Shapiro is great for the upper intelligence people.
I love Shapiro because I don't have to listen to him on 1.5 speed. It's just normal.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, yeah, let's get it, dog. Let's get it. And he's just rolling through shit.
Yep.
Love him.
So Charlie Kirk is...
His responses are more palatable.
Yeah.
To the average Joe.
So in this video, a teacher at this university comes up. And
I love when the teachers come up.
They start questioning gender. And Charlie just asked him, what is a woman?
Yeah.
And he's a biology teacher at a university.
Yeah.
And this guy, he gets one sentence in, and then the whole crowd starts booing him. And then he ends up getting aggravated at the crowd because they keep interrupting him. And he's like, you're not even giving me a chance to state the case. And he's on their side.
Yeah.
And they're still crushing him, right?
Yeah.
And Charlie puts the mic down and just leans back in his chair. And he was like, this is why your party sucks.
Yeah.
You guys can't even get along amongst each other.
No.
You're in it to argue.
They eat each other alive at every fucking given alternative.
Yeah.
Your
goal is to argue with somebody. It's not to come to a common understanding. And here you have somebody that's literally taking your side. They're just taking longer in the explanation to get there.
And you don't like it.
And you won't even let them get there.
Yeah. It's,
you know?
It's awful.
It's crazy.
And
Charlie ended that interview with, and you are a classic example of why we need to defund the education department in the U.S.
I love the whole education thing. I saw a post the other day. It was like, well, literally 50% of people that graduate high school can't read. I don't understand why we need to defund. Like, okay, you know, you just made the point, right?
Yeah.
We've been funding you for 50 years and there aren't any gains. There have been no gains.
Yeah.
That's why it has to be started over. Like, how fucking dumb do you gotta be?
Because most of that money's going to administration and not to the people actually doing the job.
Agreed.
Yeah.
That's the whole argument is all these teachers are like, well, you can't defund because of this and that. You're not getting any money. These people above you are fucking your eyeballs out. Are you too dumb to realize it?
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. We need to defund. Get rid of administrators, pay teachers more.
Yeah.
Oh, if you explain it to them that way, you know, maybe you're right. But they won't even listen because of what you just said.
No, that's how it's explained. But then the media says Department of Education's getting defunded.
Yeah.
What will this do?
Instead of telling the truth.
What will this do to the average level of intelligence in America, right? They state their headlines in a way to create doubt.
It can't get worse.
Right? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Stop.
But like, again, it's another case where accountability is being applied and we're chastising the person holding people accountable instead of the people that need to be held accountable, right?
Yeah.
And so I saw a post recently. It was in a plumbing group where this guy was bitching about the lopsided amount that CEOs make versus employees.
Well, yeah, but that's based on merit and what they're doing.
Well,
like,
it's based
on government fundings, but
it's based on merit and what they're doing and everything else. That's also a blanket statement around like all industries over the U.S.
Yeah, and
right?
It's probably actually 0.05%.
Well, you take the CEO of Apple and compare it to a line tech that's plugging chips into a computer on the line.
Let's be honest. Who's the CEO of your company, Mitch?
Me.
Are you making the same amount as the CEO of Apple?
No,
you're fucking not.
Right.
I wish you were.
Ironically,
because then you and I would be even closer friends.
Ironically, I just shared with my guys today as we were going over a P&L meeting.
Lost last month?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about that. But I shared with him today that I gave myself a pay raise. I no longer make 80 grand a year. I now make 100 grand a year.
Perfect. That means Tradewinds can cut your pay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I told them, you know, and they were kind of, they were miffed a little bit. And I'm like, guys, like, you've been making more than me for a lot of years.
Yeah. Didn't one of your guys make like 170 last year?
It makes a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you look at him and go, fuck you?
Yeah.
Like, I fuck you.
And this isn't like a, I'm CEO, so I should make more than you. But this is a deal of like, CEO of my company, and I don't even call myself a CEO. I call myself the president of the company.
Do you think you deserved a raise?
Yes.
Do you think that your performance in marketing has dictated that raise?
No, I think my performance over the years has dictated the raise. But
I love you, man. I'm just going with you.
I know. But like, here's like here in my own company.
I can hear the Tradewinds guys laughing. Yeah. Like right now.
I don't like using the term CEO, the chief executive officer, because
it's just
a
term.
Well, that implies I have other officers in the company and I'm over all of them.
Yeah.
I'm the only officer. You
should break it down. It's like CEO makes this, CFO makes this.
And I'm all of them.
And I'm all of them. So yeah. That's how I make it.
Yeah. You know, I explained to the guys, like, you know, we're all making the same money. It's just you guys have no financial risk and no stress. And I have all the financial risk and the stress.
They have stress. If it folds up tomorrow, they're like, oh, I'm going to LBA or wherever.
Yeah. They're not on the
hook. Calling Dave and we're going to start up another plumbing company.
It's a different level of stress. It's all hard, but my heart is different than their heart.
Agree right? 100%, dude.
100%. If sales drop, they don't make money. But they also don't have like 5 truck payments and shop payments and overhead to pay for.
Yeah, we could talk about your exacerbated overhead if you want.
So far.
You do not want Dave coming in there and going, hey, Mitch, you shouldn't be spending money on these areas.
I trimmed about $8,300 of expenses out of our company with some Doge-style actions in the first of the year.
I agree. You did a great job. And then you bought that other truck. But go ahead.
Well, no, the other truck's needed.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Should we open a debate here?
Yeah. Okay. So the company needs a pickup truck to run pipe around and haul stuff that can't go in transits and everything else.
Okay. That's
so
that's not the
Lightning.
It doesn't have a pipe rack on it. Did you put a pipe rack on it?
It's removable.
We're not talking about the Lightning. We're talking about the other truck you just bought.
Yeah. So the other truck is my vehicle. My personal vehicle.
I know. That smirk right there is the, yeah, you're right. I probably don't need that.
No.
Smirk.
No, the other truck is my person. The company owns the Lightning. Technically, the company owns the other truck.
Exactly.
But those are if the company didn't own it, I would have bought it personally. And the reason I say that is because, like, one advantage you have as a business owner is, why wouldn't you put companies that can go in the business and get the tax advantages from it, right? And so I bought it through the company simply because I'm in the position to get the tax advantage from buying it through the company. But, like, if I were to sell my company, that truck stays with me.
Yes.
Same with Danielle's car. Technically, the company owns Danielle's car.
Yes.
But that gets... If I were to sell the company, that comes out.
But that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about overburdening overhead.
Yeah, so...
That's what we were talking about. Those things are bad for your business overhead. That's what we were talking about.
Well, some of it is.
They are extremely bad for your business's overhead. This is none of my business, and I don't care.
Yeah.
I like arguing with you. It's fun. That business does not need to pay for her car.
No, it doesn't.
In the form of the business doesn't need it. That's what I mean.
Correct.
And the business doesn't need a 3500 diesel truck.
No.
To drive around either.
1,000%.
All I was saying was, when it comes to overhead, mm-hmm. they hurt you.
They do.
That's all. Like, and if you were going to sell, say you were going to sell your business, they hurt you there too. Like, obviously, you can say in the statement, oh, okay, we're gonna buy these from them. They won't be part of the business's overhead, blah, 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 blah. But when you look at the numbers, you say, hey, my overhead is this.
Yeah.
Some of that is self-induced. That's all my point was.
If
I were you, let me just say this. If it were me, I'd have done the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the whole benefit of owning a business.
Right, right. So, it's like, if you have a chance to buy a vehicle tax-free,
well, it's legally, not tax-free, but... I mean, it is tax-free.
It's with pre-tax earnings.
It,
Yes. So if you have, it's no different than like investing in retirement. If you have the option to invest in retirement with pre-tax earnings.
Oh yeah, you do it.
Why wouldn't you do it? Right?
Well, because you don't want to pay taxes on it later, which you will when you sell those vehicles. But
right,
irregardless.
And so like this is literally just the opportunity to buy the vehicles with pre-tax dollars instead of post-tax dollars is all yes. it is. So
yes.
But
it's a great, I love those debates of where you should be spending your money and when.
Yeah.
It makes people really think about, okay, what am I doing and why?
Well,
and how do I get to my end goal? Does this help me? Does this hurt me? Does this...
It also proves that every situation is different for every business.
Yes. That's why it's a great debate.
Yeah. And what works for my business may or may not work for some other businesses, right? I prefer to finance vehicles. Some other businesses want to pay cash for them.
Yeah.
I was just watching an interview the other day. What's the tea company that still sells their tea for 99 cents?
It's not Lipton. I want to say Lipton, but that's not
I got to look it up now.
It's not the green tea company, is it?
Tea price unchanged.
Hey, stop shaking your leg. Your fucking whole goddamn studio is shaking.
Who is the...
What?
Gosh, who is it? Who is it?
I don't know.
This is going to bug me.
Yeah, it's eating a hole in your brain. I can see it.
Who is it? Who is it? Gosh, dang it. Now I got to figure out...
99-cent tea bag.
No, no, this is... It's like a...
No, I'm just saying... If you owe me the teabag, it's a dollar.
It's not Gold Peak. It's not Milo's.
No, it's not Gold Peak. They're expensive as shit.
This is like in a can.
Oh, with a scoop in it?
No, no.
Yeah, it's like a tin can, like a Folgers can.
Gosh dang it.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry. We're only burning up
everything. I know. Well, anyway, this,
you think of it?
There's this tea company. I want to say Twisted Tea, but that ain't it.
Of course you want to say fucking yeah. Twisted Tea.
But there's this tea company that's held their pricing through all this inflation and everything, and they're unchanged. It's either 99 cents or $1.99. And they were interviewing the CEO of that company, and they're like, how do you fucking do this? And he goes, we work really, really hard to take care of, make sure our pricing isn't doing anything.
Yeah, we cut expenses.
Yeah, we manage our overhead well, and everything's paid for, and we have no debt. He's in their interview saying that. And he was like, so if I were to increase the price, it only increases our profits.
Yeah.
And I don't feel we need to do that. We're profitable. We're successful. And the interviewer's like, so you're always going to hold that price? And he says, well, I don't know. But for now, we don't need to adjust our price.
Yeah, that's an idiot interview. Are you always going to? Well, yeah. How could I possibly know that, you fucking moron?
Right, right.
Like, come on.
Yeah. That's almost as bad as the interview questions that the press secretary gets. Right.
Yeah.
They were
or the 60 minutes questions to Kamala.
Yeah.
But we'll just edit her answers. Don't fucking worry about it.
Yeah. We got to make sure to ask her the ones we teed her up with earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one her team has prepared her to answer.
If she laughs out loud, that means cut.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't know the answer.
Yeah. It means she forgot her notes. But
she forgot her notes. The teleprompter quit.
You know, there's a whole bunch of different businesses, and some businesses want to finance stuff and some businesses don't. And you won't really know. You kind of said it before. If you're the one-off guy that's kind of interesting but yet has a successful track record, chances are you know what the fuck you're doing and you're playing chess and you're a few moves ahead of everybody else.
Yeah.
But don't attempt to try to question that guy or hold that guy accountable when he has a track record of doing pretty damn good.
Well, and when you don't know what is actually going on. The people that try to hold someone accountable but don't actually know the numbers or know the ins and outs of what's going on, which is the same thing as Trump and Doge.
Yeah.
Like, you don't fucking know. All you know is what CNN fucking told you, and then you're just going to run off with all your other nitwit idiot friends and go, no, we can't do that. Why?
Right.
When you ask them why?
Yep.
And they don't know?
They don't know.
Their opinions are formed.
That's the other thing that happens.
Their own capacity. It's dumb.
That's the other thing that happens on those internet heated discussions or arguments is the moment you go name calling, it just needs to stop because nobody's in that discussion to gain knowledge.
No, if I call someone a piece of shit, I ghost after that because it's like it's over.
But like the moment name calling happens, like if somebody calls you a name, oh, you're just a Trumper, or you're an idiot, or whatever.
If
right?
someone calls me a Trumper, I go, yes, I am.
Yeah.
I'm successful and have money. Yeah. You're a moron. We'll see you later. Yeah. Good luck with your life, loser.
But if somebody does that, like you're not going to win that person over, right? And so I don't even have those conversations. But I was in a conversation the other day with somebody where, and this was about immigration. And it's actually a pastor. It's a former pastor of mine shared a video of AOC.
That fucking dumb bitch. God, you see she's being reprimanded right now, too.
Well, God. She was reading a bunch of scripture trying to say that this scripture is why we need to allow immigration to happen. We help others. We give them a hand up. We turn nobody away. We harbor people that need harboring. We do all this stuff, right? And there's very key points in scripture where it says we are supposed to do that as individuals, but nowhere in scripture does it say the government is supposed to do that. And eventually, the government is a business, and business owners have to make tough decisions, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, the business goes bankrupt, or it has trillions of dollars in deficit.
Or,
like that's where we're at.
Or it becomes the same thing that people were running from to begin with.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
The real problem. When people leave other countries and come here,
yeah.
They're not coming here to turn it into the same shit show that they just left. They're coming for something better.
Yeah.
And for that thing to be better for those that are allowed to be here, there has to be oversight.
And accountability.
And accountability. And it has to be common sense.
Yeah.
You can't the utopian thing is we want to feed everyone and give them the same opportunities we have here. Well, that's not an overnight thing.
Not our job to solve world hunger.
No.
People have to want to eat.
Have you seen Sam Kinison? Do you know who Sam Kinison is? Mm-mm. He's the comedian with the long hair and he yells, from the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
Anyways, he has this whole bit of, you know, it's not our job to solve world hunger. They're living in places where they can't grow food. It's on them.
Yeah.
Like, there's like, what do you want us to do?
Yeah. Right.
There's nothing we can do here.
Right. Right. You can't want more for somebody than they want for themselves.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, some people want to be hungry. That's why they're like some homeless people. They want to be homeless. I used to be involved in a homeless like meal and blanket and shoe drive thing where they would take this food truck out to popular homeless areas and they would feed them and give them shoes and give them a blanket. And you would get to talk with these guys. And these guys love the homeless lifestyle. They're like, I got no attachments. I got no nothing. Nobody knows about me. I'm right where I want it. I don't want a job.
Yeah.
I'm right where I want to be.
I drink this pint of vodka and I lay down under the bridge and no one bothers me. I don't give a fuck.
And so like, there's a whole lot of Americans that are trying to solve that problem when the person at the helm of the problem doesn't want the solution.
Yeah.
Right.
Can only want so much for someone.
Right. And so here AOC is this clip that this former pastor of mine shared, is AOC referencing all of this scripture saying we're supposed to do all of this. And it's all related to immigration. And, this pastor is on the woke side of things. And
oh, so a liar. Got it. Okay.
And so his echo chambers all rallying him in support and everything else. And I commented on it and it said, I would probably challenge this whole video with another scripture. And that is give a man a fish and feed him for a day, teach a man to fish and feed him for life. And I think that our current immigration structure is trying to teach a man to fish. In other words, you can't come here wrongly and we give you food and we give you shelter and we give you medicine and we give you all the things that you could earn if you go the right way. Because the moment we give it to you, we fed you for a day. But when you come through the immigration system the right way and you're a legal immigrant and you do all of the right things, those steps are teaching you how to fish. Those steps are teaching you how to prosper in America instead of just come over here and take all the handouts, right?
Yeah.
One of my other woke friends that was also, they were a former church person that was like pastored by this person when we were younger, she got on there and started to say that what we're doing and we're locking people in cages at the border.
No,
and
we're not.
All of this shit. And I'm like, okay, you realize, so it's funny you mentioned locking people in cages
at
the border.
Obama did that, right?
Well, it's funny you mention that because this is where the media likes to lie with language. And it's funny you mention the cages at the border because AOC was, you know, her famous publicity stunt where she went to the border.
Yeah.
And stood next to a fence, and selective camera angles were in there just right, where it looked like she was pleading at the sights that were happening just on the other side of the fence. And then when you look at the B-roll footage of everything, there's nothing on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
It was literally a staged photo op, right? And so I said, I'm going to just go ahead and call it like I see it. The liberals are trying to flood swing states with illegal immigrants and then get them into a voting status. Because you think about it, our election is only hinging on the swing states.
Yeah.
And those swing states have a narrow vote margin of like 200 to 500,000 votes every year.
Yeah.
And so if the liberals can control the swing states, they control the outcome of every election forever. And not that I want, like, I don't care that the liberals control it, but I also don't want the Republicans to control it either. I want it to be a balance of power. In other words, we need the swing states to stay swinging. The moment they go to one side, we're fucked, right? And so that's the reason Elon went so hard for Trump in this election, was because he saw the writing on the wall. He saw all of the swing states are the only ones pushing this agenda to harbor all of these illegal aliens and to feed them and to clothe them. And he also saw that New York and California made it legal for illegal immigrants to vote in city and state elections.
Which is which is also federally illegal.
But if they, I mean, if,
I know,
they, like we talk about everything else, illegal. You can't lead your neighborhood until you can lead your home. You can't lead your city until you can lead your neighborhood. It starts small and gets bigger, right?
Yeah.
And so California and New York make it legal for illegal immigrants to vote in state and city elections. What's the next step? Federal.
Yeah.
Right? And so Elon saw the writing on the wall, and he goes to curb the immigration thing, which is why the liberals are pushing so hard for immigration. Yeah. Right?
We love Elon. He's the savior. Oh, fuck Elon.
And so, again, as we're holding immigration people accountable, we can't chastise those that are holding it accountable, right? And so, in other words, what I'm saying is here we are trying to solve this immigration problem because it's a giant fucking problem. And we're trying to say that we're being inhumane and all this. And so, ironically, the girl who commented in support of the pastor, her husband's a police officer.
Oh, I guarantee he's like, fuck this.
And so I told her, I'm like, look, this is how media companies lie with language. We take a guy who murders somebody, we put him on death row instead of the death penalty. And that's a humane place to be. That's a humane sentence. And we determine that that cage that he's going to spend the rest of his life in is humane.
I'd rather be dead, dude.
Right. But then we have an illegal immigrant come into the U.S. violating our laws. And so they have to go to prison.
Yeah, and we're assholes now.
And if they choose to come in with a child trying to better their case, we still hold up our laws, and now we separate the parent from the child, and we put the parent in prison, and we don't have anything to do with the child yet, and so we have to put them in a detention facility, and all of a sudden, that same detention facility is now an inhumane place, when for the murderer, it's a humane place. Yeah. So, like, what is it? Is being behind bars humane or inhumane? You can't say it's humane for murderers and inhumane for other lawbreakers that are coming into the country illegally.
Yeah.
Right. And they're the ones who chose to bring their child into this bad situation. We have to enforce our laws. We're not the assholes for enforcing the laws. They're the asshole for putting their child in that predicament.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
the whole thing of, you know, they're trying to better their situation. They're trying to do this. They have had hundreds of years to turn that country into something great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All of those people that are leaving have done nothing except for run from problems.
And nobody is saying don't come here. We're saying use the door.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
Right?
I still don't understand South American countries and Mexico and all that. They are bordered with us. They have every advantage that we have. They have a better climate than we do. They have better tourism than we do if they want. They have every opportunity that we don't have.
Yeah.
And they fucking piss it away. And somehow it's our fault and our responsibility to make their lives better.
Because they don't take personal accountability for their actions.
Exactly.
Right.
It's just, I don't understand how we can have this blanket statement of they just don't have it as good.
Yeah.
They have as many opportunities as we have.
Yeah.
If everyone in that country would come together like we have here until now or recently, they could have as many or better opportunities than we have here.
Yeah. So like I pay my plumbers on flat rate pay. Right?
Yeah.
Equal opportunity pay.
Yeah.
Everyone has access to the exact same pay plan. Those who perform better get paid more.
Make more money.
And so one of the topics in our morning meeting this morning was flat rate pay and callbacks versus warranty calls. And so we had to have a discussion on what is a callback versus what is warranty. And warranty is situations out of our control that we had to go back and invest more time, effort, energy, and material to.
Yeah. Not that you fucked up and weren't paying attention.
Right. Callback is you set a toilet yesterday and it's leaking today.
Man, the ferrule was upside down. Well, whose fault is that? Is it yours or is it mine?
Right.
It's yours, dog.
So we had an accountability conversation in my own company. And I even talked about like the real life stuff. Guys, I'm a service tech too. Like, I know the desire to try to make something a callback so you can get paid on it. You know, I didn't thread this together properly and so it leaked. But if I say that it was bad threads, and then if I cut it out and then redo it to try to prove the point and further the lie, then it wasn't bad threads. I didn't install it correctly, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bad wax ring. No, you didn't set the toilet right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Double up if you're in doubt.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But what I'm saying is, like, we all do this. And holding people accountable is the right way. Because if I didn't hold my guys accountable, then I'm literally encouraging poor performance and poor work. In other words, if I paid you to do it right the first time and you didn't do it right, and then I pay you to do it again, you now just got incentivized financially to do it wrong. Because you got paid twice to do the job once.
Yeah. Fuck you.
And your work buddy that's sitting right next to you that did it right the first time.
He didn't get paid twice.
He didn't get paid twice. So it's literally fucking him over and teaching you that it's actually better to do it wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And so we had that conversation in my company. Accountability stops nowhere. Everybody needs to be held accountable. We also had a profit and loss meeting this morning. I'm rare. I wish more companies would do this. I share our profit and loss statement with our guys every month.
When do I start getting a kickback?
That's what?
From Smedley Plumbing.
Why?
Do we talk about Smedley Plumbing on this show?
We do.
Where's my kickback?
You think Smedley Plumbing benefit? If anything, talking about Smedley Plumbing hurts the company on this show.
Well, that'd be something you'd need to deal with. That's not my problem.
But we talk about a P&L meeting, right?
Yeah.
And I'm very clear with them on the P&L. There's a line that runs right through the middle of your P&L, and on the top side of that line is all field related labor expenses and all field related material expenses and all sales. And then so your field sales team and your field install team sells work and then installs that work and then leaves you with gross profit.
Yep.
And gross profit is what you need to fund the company.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm very clear with my guys. I make sure to state this every time we have a P&L meeting. I draw the line on there and I say, you guys are responsible for everything above this line. I'm responsible for everything below the line. And ironically, everything above the line is three things: top line revenue, material usage, labor. That's it. It's all it ever is.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything below the line is like 100 things.
For money brought in, yes.
Yeah, it's phone expenses, insurance expenses, shop rent, utilities, gas, salaries, like all the below the line expenses.
Diesel truck payments, yes.
Vehicle payments, like everything, right? Yes. And so, you know, I tell them all the time that you guys do this up here. And if you guys get top line revenue and you guys get 60% gross profit, you did your job. If we lose money after this, it's my fault. So this is you. This is me. In other words, I'm establishing who's accountable for what, right? And so this particular P&L meeting, we were under our revenue target, okay? And I took accountability for that.
Yeah.
In other words,
marketing has been sucking some balls.
It's not the marketing. It's the effectiveness of the market. We've been pouring money into marketing like crazy.
What?
Everyone is struggling with marketing right now.
Agreed. Regardless.
Yeah.
That's it. And as the business owner, I've got to bring in calls.
Yeah.
And if those calls aren't fucking coming in,
it's hard for you guys to win.
I got to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it all comes around circles.
Of course.
But I was able to share with them and celebrate. Like, I had a goal to trim $10,000 a month, $8,000 to $10,000 a month off of our monthly expenses.
Yeah.
And I want our total annual overhead to be $100,000 to $120,000 less this year than it was last year. Okay.
Okay. So $1,000 or $10,000 a month.
So that comes to like $8,500 to $10,000 a month.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I was able to show that last year our overhead was X, and now for this P&L meeting we were under that. This was we were way late on the January P&L.
Holy fuck, dude! It's March.
Yeah, we're doing the February P&L next week.
Today's the 12th?
Well, I only hold the P&L meetings when everybody's there because I don't want anybody to miss out on it. And we've had some vacations and some time offs, and we were closed for weather. And we've had a lot of weather on Wednesdays.
Dude, we have had a lot of weather this winter. It's fucking on Wednesdays too. Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
I need a vacation.
So, we were a little late on it, but it was like, okay, here, 1 month out of the gate with this P&L, and we saved $10,000 on our bottom line expenses. So that's cool. Like, a lot of our plans are working. We still lost money because we didn't have the top line revenue we were shooting for because of call volume, right?
Gotcha.
But, like, I'm able to share that accountability with everybody. And I do it to hold, like, so that they can hold me accountable. They see what I make.
Yeah.
They see owner's salary on the P&L.
God damn, Mitch. You spent that much on marketing and we got no calls? What the fuck?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. They see that I spent $12,000 in January on insurance.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say look. I don't care.
I mean, I changed insurance companies and I'm going to save 10 grand a year. How much am I paying in premiums to where I can save 10 grand a year?
And it's time to fire everyone and then hire everyone back at like half the insurance premium.
Yeah.
Pay. Jesus.
It's crazy. So ultimately, true success lies on the other side of accountability. And accountability starts with you. And if you can't hold yourself accountable to good standards, you have no position to try to hold anybody else accountable.
Yeah.
And you also have to understand what you can hold, what you're accountable for and what others are accountable for. And you got to own your shit. And then you got to help others own their shit. Right?
Yeah. The only way that the ship moves forward is if everyone is holding everyone else accountable.
Exactly.
That is the fastest way to success.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So if you're trying to kick smoking, anybody that offers you a cigarette is an asshole, right?
Especially if they know. If your friend knows you're trying to quit smoking and throws your pack of cigarettes out the fucking window while you're driving down the truck, that's a true friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a friend.
You've done that before.
Actually. I know. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
Numerous times.
For those that don't know, I smoked for 2 years and David and Danielle got me to quit. I'll be honest with you.
It was Danielle. I know. But it made me feel good to throw your cigarettes out the fucking window when we're driving down the highway. But if you have a friend that is offering you cigarettes and knows you're trying to quit, that person isn't your friend. They're an enabler and a piece of shit because they don't want to be alone in their journey.
Right.
That's fucking the reality of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, accountability begins with yourself
too.
No, yeah. No, this goes everywhere. This is personal, professional, business, everything.
I didn't realize it'd be an hour and a half.
Yeah. So
I haven't seen my buddy Mitch in a while.
The end goal here is to understand that accountability begins with you, and you will never see results until you can hold yourself accountable and until you can learn how to hold others accountable.
Yeah.
And if you can't hold yourself accountable, you're fucked. Start there. Once you have yourself under control, then start holding other people accountable. Right?
Yeah.
And these are daily things, daily promises you make to yourself and you keep to yourself every day. If you're trying to quit smoking, it's one day at a time. Maybe it's 1 hour at a time. That's another hour under my belt without a cigarette.
Yeah.
Right? If you're trying to quit drinking, every day matters, right?
Every day matters.
And if you're trying to lose weight, then every day you nail your diet is a win. And every day you didn't nail your diet, it's a loss. And hold yourself accountable. Like, we lose sometimes.
And don't,
right?
When you lose in your personal life, don't take it as a complete failure. Say, I fucked up. I had a problem. I fucked up today.
Yeah, I slipped.
Tomorrow's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. Don't waste 6 days of success because the seventh was shitty and then you go off the fucking wagon on day 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. No.
Right.
I fucked up. I'm going to start again tomorrow. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. I got it.
Exactly.
I got it. And if you have to say,
if you have to build a cheat day into your diet, or if you have to work into it and say, like, I'm going to work out once a week, and then next week I'm going
to
work out twice.
If you have
to, and then next week I'm going to work out three times, and you get up to five and you're good.
If you have to get in a group where people are supporting you, do it.
Well, that should be your friends group.
That's what I'm saying.
Should be.
If it's not, get in a group that's encouraging
and
helping you. If you're in a business group and everyone in there is fucking negative and business sucks and you're never going to make it and this and that, get the fuck out of that group. Stop talking to those people and surround yourself with people that are positive.
Yeah.
People that are willing to help you succeed.
So, like, I threw out an offer to my guys today with a certain revenue target number for the month. And we do this thing every once in a while. We call it bar tab bets, where I bet they can't do something. And if they do it, I pay the bar tab. Okay.
Okay.
And so
I like it. I that's a great idea. I like it.
Yeah. And so I threw out the financial incentive, the revenue target.
What is it? Tell me.
$100,000 for the month.
Okay, for this month or
for
next
this month,
month,
$100,000 in revenue, which is a low number, but we've been struggling with call volume and everything else, and so we finally have the call volume to hit $100,000, and so we're going to do it.
Okay.
And I throw out the carrot and I say, we do $100,000 this month, bar tab bets. Well, I get one guy that says, well, I'm trying to quit drinking. And then another person, he says, I'm trying to quit drinking. Maybe we should all go out to dinner. And then somebody else said, well, that doesn't sound like it's going to work with my diet. And I'm like, guys, I'm trying to incentivize you here, but if it needs to be salad bar bets, we'll fucking go to the salad bar.
$100 bonus if we reach it.
So finally we settled on Char Bar. I'm taking everybody to Char Bar if we hit $100,000 in revenue. I don't know what Char Bar is. They brought it up. I'll find something.
It's real popular.
Yeah, I'll find something to eat there.
Of course you will. But you'll eat anything.
Maybe.
It ain't Friday night, but okay.
But like even that only comes with holding people accountable, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, why didn't you make a sale on this call? Why isn't the revenue higher than what it should be? Why is your conversion where it is?
Like, every Wednesday, are you going to be like, hey, Spencer's conversion was this.
I do this. I call them up.
I don't know the other guys. Austin's the new guy. His conversion was this.
Yeah. I mean, I share their conversion and average tickets with them. They kind of check them on their own.
Oh, okay.
But,
good.
But you know, yesterday I got a call from one of my guys. He didn't convert a call. And he was like, that's going to hurt my conversion. And I'm like, dude, it wasn't a convertible call. Like you went to a call for the disposal wasn't working.
Nah.
It temporarily was locked up. She unjammed it, but it still wouldn't work because she never hit the reset button.
Nah.
And he was like, I could have sold her a new disposal and everything else. I'm like, no. You're going too far with it. You can offer her a new disposal, but you shouldn't have sold her a new disposal. In other words, if she wants to buy one, great.
That's a gray area.
But the wrong thing to do is take somebody that just needs the reset button popped and say, you need a new disposal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now we're lying to customers and selling them shit they don't need.
Yeah.
And so the right thing to do is you reset it. You say, it looks like you're good, but this disposal is aging. That's probably why it got jammed up. Here's some options that you may want to consider. And if they're entertaining them, great. And if they say, thanks for hitting the reset button, then great. And then he was getting upset that he didn't charge her some kind of minimum repair charge. And I'm like, dude, you literally just hit a reset switch. Like you charge her the trip charge and you say, call us when you need a new disposal.
Yeah.
That's just part of it. Like not all calls are convertible. Not all calls are sellable.
Sometimes you just get one.
Yeah. But it's that level of accountability across the board that helps us all do better.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not a blind one-sided accountability. It's not me expecting my guys to sell the world on every call or anything else. It's being real about it. But if we be real about it and we hold ourselves to the ethical numbers that we're supposed to, we'll hit the goal and everybody gets to celebrate because everybody was held accountable and contributed to the success of the organization.
Yeah, it should have been, I'll take you to Char Bar. I'll make Dave come and entertain you while you're there.
Never know. You might get to come.
Yeah, right.
It's employees only, but if I bring you on as a consultant, then technically
that's fine, but I'm sending you an invoice. 75 cents, Mitch. I'll be there.
So
wrap us up, buddy.
That's going to be it for today. Just understand from this show that accountability is your path to success, and it starts with you. If this show brought you value, if it made you think of things in a different way, if you know somebody that's needing to be held accountable, or you know somebody that's looking for accountability themselves, send them a link to this show. Literally hit the back button on this episode, go to the share button, and text it to them directly. You can message it to them or any platform you want. If you guys have any questions about anything for business, the links to get a hold of us are in the description of this show. Our emails are in the description of this show. So you can find those there. If you have questions, we love answering your questions.
Is our emails in there?
They should be. And if they're not, I am talking to the guy that should get them in there right now.
Okay.
And I'm not paying that consulting invoice until he gets them in there.
Understood, sir. Understood.
But we love helping you guys out. We love the feedback that we get from everybody. And so feel free to reach out to us and let us know. So until next time, guys, we will see you later.
See you.